It's a privilege to be here once again to bring God's word. And we do appreciate your fellowship in the cause of God as you pray for us and take an interest in us as we seek to be for God in Feltham. We're going to consider the word of God this evening together. And it'd be good if you could turn to the passage in Acts chapter 20, which was read to us earlier. Particularly, we are going to focus on two verses this evening. So we're in Acts chapter 20, and I want to read those two verses to us now. Acts chapter 20, and beginning at verse 20, here are the two verses. Paul is meeting with these Ephesian elders, and he says this: "How I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you, and taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying to Jews and also to Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ." Let us pray. Father, your word is truth. We do pray tonight that each of us gathered in this place would be humbled through your word before the mighty Lord God who is yourself, and Jesus would be precious to each of our souls as we pray to you in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. We are going to think then tonight about the message that matters. The message that matters. The message that we all need to hear and to consider together this evening. So what would you like to hear this evening? How would you even answer that question about the message you need to hear? Perhaps some of you are perhaps not too interested. You just want the time to pass because you think there isn't really a message that matters. I just want to get through my life as best I can. But there is a message that matters. There is a message that comes from God. There is a message that we need to hear. And as we come to this passage tonight and we consider the Apostle Paul and his attitude towards God, what God had called him to do, we will see a man who had become convinced of this great message. And when he visited this place called Ephesus, he had determined that this message would be the focus of his life. So for ourselves this evening then, as we come together, we all need to hear this message. All of us, Christians, non-Christians, need to hear this great message from God. For those of us who are Christians, there is also the call upon our lives to be interested, to be persuaded, to be determined that this message needs to be passed on to others, that others would hear this message, because it is the message that matters. Amidst all the multitude of messages that come to us, even this past week, how many messages have come? This is the message that matters. This is the message that comes from God. So Paul, as we have been thinking, is with these Ephesian elders. And he's on a journey. He's journeying back to Jerusalem, wanting to get to Jerusalem. He's come to a place called Miletus. And from Miletus, we read in verse 17 of the passage, Acts chapter 20, verse 17, he says, "From Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church." And we read how they came to him and he started speaking to them. Four things then we want to consider specifically from these two verses this evening. The first is concerning the focus that Paul had. Secondly, we'll think about the energy that Paul had. Thirdly, we're going to think about the content of the message. And fourthly, we're going to think about the urgency that Paul had in making sure this message would be known and heeded. So that's where we're at tonight then. That's where we're going. The message that matters. So first of all then, Paul speaks about his focus. So we go into verse 20. Paul speaking to these Ephesian elders, and he's speaking to them about when he was with them in Ephesus, when he had gone there with a purpose of being in that place for God. And so we read at the beginning of verse 20, he says, I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you. Paul had a focus. His focus was upon what? His focus was upon, look at the text, bringing what was helpful to the people. Bringing what was beneficial to the people. He didn't go to Ephesus for popularity. He didn't go to Ephesus wanting to make a name for himself and to become famous. He didn't go to Ephesus wanting to speak upon his favourite subject, whatever that might have been according to his natural inclinations. He didn't go to Ephesus according to thinking about what the people there wanted to hear. He went to Ephesus to tell them what was helpful to them. He didn't go to Ephesus just wanting to be accepted. That's a big thing nowadays, is it? Particularly for younger people, probably for all of us, that we want to be accepted in a certain community, and therefore we will find that we've got a reason in life because a group of people have accepted us. No, Paul had a bigger agenda. He had an agenda which focused on bringing from God what was helpful to these people, what was beneficial to these people. He had come to Ephesus with this determination to bring good things that would benefit these people. So what does that mean? What does that mean concerning his attitude? Think about our own attitude. It was simply a selfless attitude, wasn't it? He was going to that place, not for himself, but for God and for the benefit of those people. There was a selflessness about his approach. What happened? What happened as he went there? Well, if you read Acts chapter 19 and you observe what happened when Paul went to Ephesus, there was all kinds of happenings, wasn't it? All kinds of difficulties, all kinds of trouble. But Paul was a man who was convicted that he wanted to bring that was helpful, what was helpful. And so even though he knew, well, let's just read down in Acts chapter 20, read from verses 22 to 24 as Paul would move forward in his ministry. Just read Acts chapter 20, verse 22, and we'll pick the reading up. And he says to these Ephesian elders, and see, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every place, saying that chains and tribulations await me. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus Christ to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Paul is a determined man. He is determined to bring this message to people. He knows that trouble and difficulty and awkward situations, to say the least, are going to ensue. But he has this focus laid upon him because Jesus has given him this ministry. The Lord Jesus Christ has called him to go forward. So what about ourselves tonight as regards to considering our own situations? Do we have a focus, and do we have a determination connected with that focus to go forward and tell out this great, wonderful message concerning the Lord Jesus Christ? That is the message that will be helpful for people. What about the ministry that you might have been called to? Is there a determination to keep going because you know that God has called you to it? Things are difficult. People are not listening. There are things that are coming into your life as a result that you wish weren't happening, but you know that this is the right thing to do because you want people to be helped. This is the focus. This is the focus of your life. So think about the Apostle Paul and how he was focused upon helping people. So what about ourselves in our different individual situations? Parents, what about yourselves as regards to your family, your children? What is your focus as regards to your children? You just want them to grow up so that they'll look after you when you're older, so you don't want to upset them? Is that your focus? Or do you realize there is this call upon you to do everything within your power unto God to bring that which is helpful into the lives of those children that have been given to you? You fathers, Ephesians chapter 6 says that we fathers are to bring our children up into the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We are to bring that which is helpful into the lives of our children. We're not to leave that to others. We have that responsibility. It should be our focus. And so we should be determining with the children individually and together to teach our children because we believe that they need to have things that are helpful brought into our lives. And mothers as well, alongside fathers and those who are mothers on your own, may the Lord help you as you seek to fulfill a ministry of bringing good things into the lives of your children. Be focused, as the Apostle Paul said, and be realizing that this is what your family needs. And if you're working in the church and you have opportunity to teach others, remember this to be your focus, that you're going to bring what is helpful into the lives of those who are before you. And as a church generally, remember that we are committed not just to bring messages which might have some political importance or seek to just help people through the ways of life. We are to bring the message which is of most help into the lives of the people we have responsibility for. So that is the first point tonight, and it's about our focus. So many of us are just not focused enough as regards to what God's call is upon us. A focus that Paul had, going back to Acts and chapter 20 and verse 20. Read it again. He kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you, bringing it to those people he had contact with. Second thing then tonight we want to consider is the issue of energy. The issue of energy. Continuing on in verse 20. Continuing verse 20, Paul says this. He kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly and from house to house. Taught you publicly and from house to house. While Paul was in Ephesus, he gave himself to this great work of bringing that which was helpful to the people. His preoccupation was making sure others knew this message. So he went and he taught publicly, out in the open, where the people gathered together. He got out among the people. He was declaring and telling that which they needed to hear. But what does it also say there in verse 20? It says he taught from house to house. So he was not only out in the public, out in the public square, he was also going from into people's homes, going from house to house. See, some people wouldn't be out in public, would they? Some people wouldn't be in the common public place. And he would go to where they were. He would go into their homes. But there's also the fact that sometimes you can't say everything to everybody out in the in a public arena. And he would therefore make sure that he would communicate all the things that people perhaps were unsure about, or he believed they needed to hear further by going into their homes. So here is Paul, and he would actually be determined to go and bring this message into people's lives. There is a sense of energy about him, a sense of being determined to bring this message to the people. So what do you say to Paul tonight? What do you say to him? What do you think? Do you think he takes it all a bit too serious? You say, Paul, you met him tonight. You say, well, Paul, can you tone it down a bit? You know, you're going to burn yourself out if you keep going on like this. And really, it's not all that. It's not such a big issue, is it? Just pass on a few things that are just going to cheer people up and then go home and enjoy yourself. Or just keep it in church. You know, just keep it in church, you know, just keep, you know, that's the pressure that's on us really as Christians today, isn't it? You know, keep your religion private, keep your religion in church. Don't be so concerned about getting the message of God's word out among people. Now, Paul was convinced that people needed to hear what was helpful to them. And so that conviction about what God had called him to, this message that people needed to hear, he was convinced that he had to get it out. This message needed to go out. So, what about ourselves tonight? Are we grasped? Are we gripped by the call of Jesus Christ? I'm not saying tonight that we're all called to go out to be evangelists. But are we all called by, are we all gripped by a determination that we would have an interest in this message going forward? Perhaps for some of us tonight, it is a resolve to pray. A resolve to pray for the likes of Jaykanth out in Sri Lanka, who is seeking to get this message out, for example. Perhaps that's the impact that God would have for you this evening, to be more zealous in prayer because you realize this is the message that matters and you realize there are those who are called specifically to evangelize and you're praying for them and you're praying for others to be raised up. But there's also this sense as well that we need not only to be gripped by what the Lord Jesus is laying on us, but this be gripped as well by just the realization about the need of the people around us, that people really do need to hear the message which is the most helpful message concerning our Lord Jesus Christ. So gripped by the call of the Lord Jesus upon our lives, however that might be working out, and gripped by how this message is the most important message that people need to hear. A couple of things I want to mention here in the context of the issue of energy. How much energy is there amongst us? I sometimes wonder about Christians in, I say this globally, concerning Christians in the UK, I wonder about how much energy there is amongst us to be really determined to serve the Lord and to be spent for his cause. The first thing I want to mention is passivity. Passivity. And hard to put a date on this. It's obviously something that's changed over the years. But let's go back, say, 80 years. Go back to the interwar years, if I dare go back that far. And for those who want me to be more specific, that means 1918 to 1939. And up to that generation, really, there was a sense in which the culture was active. What do I mean by that? I mean that in order to accomplish anything, in order even to have your own entertainment or fulfill any pastimes, there had to be a degree of energy. Because you had to get up and do something. If you just sat around, then really nothing happened. There was a sense in which, in order for things to happen, there had to be activity. There had to be action. There had to be some energy that you had to put into the situation. However, things gradually changed. And things gradually changed by screens arriving, if I could put it that way. The arrival of screens, and I think probably most of us even tonight, if not all of us, therefore are affected by the whole issue of what has happened through television originally, and they've multiplied over the recent years, haven't they, with regard to computers and the phones that we now have and a multiplicity of other screens that we now sit before. And what is the effect? What is the effect of that? What is the effect of this sitting at screens culture, which particularly for the younger ones, even younger than me, that would be growing up in this age? It's a passivity, isn't it? It's a passivity. What do I mean by that? Well, life just happens to you because you put yourself in front of a screen, whether it be a TV, whether it be a computer, whether it be a telephone, a phone even, and life just happens. And life, therefore, becomes very passive. Sometimes even if you go out into the parks around about, it's sad, isn't it, how very few people, even youngsters, are out there playing so very often. This has an effect, doesn't it? This has an effect. It has an effect because people lose a sense of determining to be active in moving forward in the ways of serving God, if I bring it directly into the life of the church. People become very passive, and even church just happens to them. You know, just come along and it happens to me. And the sense of being stirred up to get on and serve God and be energetic for Him is something that is very foreign to a lot of people. So particularly for you younger ones tonight, I just want to bring a challenge to fight against the culture which you are being brought up in. A culture which I put to you of passivity. You can come and challenge me on this later if you want to. You may see it differently. It's just an observation that I have. You see Paul here with all of his energy, and I just want to challenge you, particularly you younger ones tonight. We be raised up, be stirred up to be energetic for the Lord and to serve Him, because there is a great message that needs to be passed on to others who need this helpful message. Second thing I want to think about is an issue of transition. The first thing, thinking about the energy, the Paul had energy, the issue of passivity firstly, specifically I'm thinking of here, the issue of transition. And what I'm thinking of particularly here is when people emigrating, people particularly coming into this country, just again an observation that I would have is that people come from situations where there seems to be a good deal of energy for God, a good deal of passion for God, and then they come over the English Channel or they come through Heathrow Airport and that energy seems to dissipate. It seems to just evaporate. And they come into this country, and I know it's not easy coming into another country and seeking to assimilate even into a different church environment. But so very often the energy seems to dissipate, and that which would be seen in their home country is lost. And if you're in that situation tonight, think about God's call upon you. Think about you being before God and the Lord Jesus Christ to be able to serve Him and to move forward for Him. So two things we've seen already tonight. The first thing, the issue of Paul having a focus in his life. The second thing, of Paul having energy as regards to serving the Lord. The third thing I want to think about tonight then is content. And we're going into verse 21 now. Going into verse 21. And with regard to the content of his message, Paul says he's testifying to Jews. Testifying to Jews and also to Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. I've been mentioning about what was helpful for people to hear. Well, this is the helpful message. This is the message that people need to receive. This is the message that we all need to hear tonight. Paul brought before those in Ephesus this message, all of them, those from a Jewish background, those from a Gentile background, and the message was repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. This is what they needed to know. This is what we need to know. So let's think about this issue further. Let's think about the whole issue of repentance. Our sin is before God. And as we've been drawn to the Lord tonight in prayer, we've even been having some sense of this, that our God is the God of all grandeur. Our God is the God of perfect holiness. Our God is the God whose eyes cannot look on iniquity. And we are full of sin, full of wandering away from God. And the wrath of God rests upon us. The anger of the eternal God rests upon us because of our sin, which has eternal consequences, being an eternal offense against our eternal Lord. And there is nothing bigger in our lives tonight. There is nothing more important in our lives tonight. So you're not a Christian. This is your big issue. You have sin. You have sin before God, that which is offensive to God. This is what we all need to know. This is the bad news that we all need to know. And so very easily it rests lightly upon us, doesn't it? We don't have a sense of the grandeur of God, how little conviction of sin there is amongst us nowadays. How little grief over our sins. Fellow believers tonight, do we grieve over our sins? I'm not asking for a morbid introspection, but I am asking, even into the depths of my own soul, that sin would cause grief because we realize it is an offense before our God. And so Paul says that the message should be repentance toward God, a brokenness concerning our sin, and repentance, therefore, a turning around. Lord, I'm going the wrong way. Lord, this is an offense to you. I want to turn around. Repentance is a turning around word. It is a big and brave word because it tells of somebody who is big enough and brave enough to say that I am wrong. That's big and brave. It's not big and brave just to be carry on trying to justify ourselves when we're going the wrong way. That is evasive. That is weakness. Bravery is to admit we're wrong and to say, I want to turn around. It is the message of the Bible. It is the message of the New Testament. It's the message we all need to hear. Think of John the Baptist, who came as the great introducer of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says of him, in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. And then the Lord Jesus himself comes. And he comes proclaiming the good news of God. And he says, the time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. So there is a message of repentance. And there is a message of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Looking towards Jesus Christ. Turning from our sin and looking to Christ Jesus, our Lord, the Holy One of God, the great Savior who came into this world in the purposes of God. He dwelt amongst men. The glory of God was displayed in his life, that beautiful life, perfect, pure, holy. And he set himself with a purpose of coming into this world. That great loving purpose which goes beyond all other expressions of love, as it were, that he came and set himself to go to the cross of Calvary. This is the most helpful message we need to know, because this is the message which rescues us and brings us everlasting blessing. Christians tonight, let's be persuaded again of the glory of the gospel. Great is the gospel of our glorious God. Oh, that we might appreciate how wonderful this message is and look to that Savior, see him again as he came into the world and went to the cross. He himself bare our sins in his own body on the tree. Let us once again delight in the fact that he went there for me. Sobered, of course, for the reality of our sin that took him there, but thankful and overwhelmed that I now have salvation. Because through his grace and all of his grace, I have placed my faith in him, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, think of how wonderful this message is. Think about the Thessalonians and what happened to them. How they turned to God and from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead. Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. They were a people who had been transformed, turned around. They were now looking to Jesus. They'd seen him as deliverer from the coming wrath. Here is the great message of the gospel. So, if you're not a Christian tonight, you know you need to repent and to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes? That is the helpful message. That is the content of the message that matters. But Christian, you need that as well. We all need to hear this message because we all wander and we all stray. And we all need to hear the wonder of this message that our life is dependent upon Jesus Christ. We don't, as it were, believe the gospel, then try and do our best. We believe the gospel and then we believe the gospel and then we continue to believe the gospel as we turn from our sin and continually trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. But fellow Christian, we know how to help others, don't we? As regards to this message. Can I suggest, there's always four points to have in our mind. It's a helpful thing as regards to passing on the gospel. We know that God is great. We seek to present and bring before people that there's a holy, righteous God. We present people, secondly, with their sin, how it is an offense before God, and it sets them under the wrath of God, set for an eternal judgment. And then we tell them, thirdly, of Christ. This is the message that matters. The Christ in whom they need to have faith, who there gave himself on the cross of Calvary. And then fourthly, we tell them they need to believe, need to repent and believe the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the message that matters. It's interesting. When you, there's an event coming up in 2017, October the 31st, 2017. Some of you perhaps would anticipate and know what I'm thinking of. That'd be 500 years, will it? 500 years since Martin Luther placed his 95 theses on the door of that church in Wittenberg. What was number one? Anybody know what number one was of those theses? It was this. When our Lord and Master Jesus Christ said, repent, Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. He willed the entire life of believers to be one of repentance. He willed the entire life of believers to be one of repentance. So, fellow believers, then, we want to know the gospel and we want to delight in it all the time. We want to know the gospel so that we can pass it on to others. We need to remember, fellow believers, that the Christian life is a life of repentance. And how we should be remembering this continually in the life of our church. And it's a precious gift from God, isn't it, that the Lord has given us the Lord's Supper. Because in a sense, that is what? It is a repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ event. Yes, there are many other things that appertain to our celebration of communion together. But in a sense, that is what it is as well. We are coming once again through the bread and through the cup to see Jesus Christ, to confess our sins and our waywardness, and again, trust ourselves to our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's the third point tonight. As Paul would be telling what happened down in Ephesus, as we again scan our eyes back to verse 21, it says he was testifying to Jews and also to Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. That is the message. That is the most important message. Fourthly, then, they're a matter of urgency. 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 What sense do we get as we see Paul going down to Ephesus, as we see him recounting what happens? Let's look at verses 20 and 21 and read them together again. Paul says, "I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying to Jews and also to Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ." Paul, as he went down, as he was seeking to minister to those in Ephesus, there was an overwhelming sense of the urgency of the situation as he went amongst these people. He didn't go with his own suggestions. He didn't go thinking about a reasonable idea that they needed to embrace. He didn't go putting before them his opinion. He didn't suggest, well, if you're from this background, this may well be something that you need to consider. He brought it before all of them, everybody from every background, with a sense of urgency, with a sense of wanting them to embrace this message. He was fixed upon it, and he was fixed upon these people coming to be aware of it, and to embrace it, and to respond to it, and to come to the knowledge of the wonderful Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. There was an urgency upon him. Again, I think we need to be thoughtful about the urgency that we have, brothers and sisters. The whole world is telling us not to be bothered about eternity, isn't it? The whole world around us is just telling us to be bothered about the things of time and of sense, and not to be so concerned about anything beyond this world. And yet we realize the things that really matter are the things that are beyond this world. And those things are the most important issues that we need to grasp and to grapple with. And so we need some urgency. There needs to be some urgency in our prayers, I suggest, brothers and sisters. There needs to be some urgency in declaring the message to others. We do not know what a day will bring forward. Parents, for your children, do you have an urgency in praying for their welfare? Perhaps that's the challenge to you tonight. Some urgency in longing for your welfare, the children's welfare, as they grow up, longing that they would come and embrace this message. So there was an urgency, as Paul would seek to, as he recounts what happened when he went down to Ephesus. So four things tonight, as we say, sought to interact with God's word, as Paul would be dealing with the message that matters. Firstly, there was a focus in his life. Secondly, there was a focus in his life. Secondly, there was energy as he sought to share this message. Thirdly, we thought about the content. And fourthly, we thought about the urgency of embracing this message. So for ourselves tonight, will we be taking heed to God's call upon our lives? You do know what God has spoken to you about. Is it that you need to make for the first time your peace with God and respond to the gospel? Fellow Christian, perhaps you've drifted from the Lord and you need to return and confess your sin and once again embrace the great purposes of our God in Christ Jesus. Oh, finally, that we might see many stepping up, like the Apostle Paul, transformed by the renewing of the grace of God, transformed to be stirred to serve God selflessly, relentlessly, passionately, and to go on for the Lord. I just want to conclude with this scripture from Joshua and chapter 14. Joshua chapter 24, as Joshua observes his own situation. Listen to this scripture. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord.